like a babe when it cries for its mother. Like a child, I was helpless alone. Then I met the Master. Now I am one of His own. For all things were changed when He found me. A new day broke through all around me. For I met the Master. Like a blind man who walks in the darkness, I was lost, I had searched for the light. Then I met the Master. Now I walk no more in the night, for all things were changed.
Praise the Lord for the difference the Lord makes. Amen. A person's life, He ought to make a difference. Old things ought to pass away. Amen. All things ought to become new. I like that old preaching on regeneration. Amen. And the new birth and the changed life. And as I've said before and preached here before, the word saved is a good word. It's a good Bible word. But He did more than just save me. He also regenerated me. Amen. I was born again, changed my life. And I certainly owe all to Him. And so we're so thankful the difference that the Lord makes. And He should make a big difference in our life. Amen. We could say amen to that. He should make a big difference. Well, as I said earlier, Brother Lawrence came here and helped him to establish the church and took that in 1968. And over that next year, then about 48 people were saved or baptized. The church, because it was meeting in the Whatnot Shop, had no baptistry. And so they were baptized in a pond out DD Highway. Brother Lawrence is a little unclear about exactly where it was, but somewhere out there, out as it's affectionately known around here, is Dead Deer Highway. Amen. Out DD between here and Warrensburg, there was about 48 people baptized out there. During that year, though, Brother Lawrence was a man of conviction, from what Brother Smith was telling us as well, and began to preach a lot that year on separation and personal holiness and the truths of the Scriptures, that God's people ought to live like all things are new. Amen. And so our history, we have a history in that as well. Began to preach on those things, personal holiness, that sort of stuff. Well, that kind of upset some of the 48 people who were here. And as a result of that, some of them ended up leaving because of that. It came time to name the church, and the church had a split over the name, which in this case was a good thing because we were almost Knob Noster Community Church. Think what that would have been in our history. There was a group within the group that wanted to call the church Knob Noster Community Church. Brother Lawrence stood by his conviction, said it wasn't going to happen, that was his exact words. He got up in the pulpit and told him it wasn't going to happen. And over half the group left, which probably wasn't a bad thing in retrospect. Bad for them, but not bad for the church. And so they named it at that time. We originally, Knob Noster Baptist Church is what the church was originally called. Began as Knob Noster Baptist Church. It was under Brother Lawrence's ministry that the property was secured, which we now sit on. They were able to buy the property. And it's an interesting story. Brother Lawrence, they also attempted to build a building while he was here, and they had put back, I think Brother Lawrence, Brother Al, I think it was $6,000, wasn't it? I didn't write that down. It was $6,000 that the church was able to put away toward a building. There was a group, a church out in Oklahoma, that was going around building buildings for churches, but they needed the money for material up front, and they would come and help you build it. To make a long story short, Brother Lawrence went out there, met with them, gave them the $6,000, and the bunch folded up, and the church lost all the money. And so they weren't able to build a building, but Brother Lawrence was able to purchase the property. His stay wasn't very long. Brother Lawrence resigned, make sure I get this right, Brother Lawrence resigned in November of '69. He was only here about a year and a half. But his ministry still had a big impact on the church. After all, we could have been Knob Noster Community Church. Amen. That would have been horrible. And so he saved us from that. That's a good thing. And he was able also to purchase the property. And so even though his ministry here wasn't very long, he certainly had a big impact on Calvary and the history of Calvary. So we sure appreciate to him. Brother Lawrence is now out in Phoenix. He's still alive. Brother Lawrence is out in Phoenix. He's in Christian counseling out in Phoenix, Arizona now. All right, next we've got Brother Carl Ray up to come preach. I wish I'd asked Brother Ray when he surrendered to preach. When did you surrender to preach, Brother Ray? You've been preaching for a couple days now. When did you surrender to preach? What year? 1951. Surrendered to preach in 1951. Began to pastor, if I can read all my notes correctly here, began to pastor Holden Baptist Temple in 1966 and did so till 1973. It was during that time that Brother Bond came here and, of course, sat under Brother Ray's ministry for a short time. Until Brother Bond started having the Bible studies over here and in lieu of starting the church, which Brother Ray supported wholeheartedly. And after 1973, Brother Ray, for about a period of 13 years, pastored two separate churches at different times, Faith Baptist Church in Riverside, California, and then Berean Baptist Church down in Stratford, Missouri. In 1987, returned to Holden and pastored it a second time until 2002. And then for a couple of years was a member of Berean and did some fill-in work and became the pastor at the church in Buffalo in 04, and of course is still pastoring down there even today. So appreciate Brother Ray, good brother. We didn't overlap very long here. I got here in December of 2000. So we were neighbors for a couple of years, but count Brother Ray a good friend and appreciate both he and his wife and their testimonies, faithfulness over the long haul. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So Brother Ray, why don't you come ahead and preach.
I can't tell you what a joy it is for me to be here. Calvary Baptist Church has always been very special to Marilyn and me. I was in the ordination of Brother Lawrence, and in that room that you were talking about upstairs, I remember that pretty well. I didn't get to know him very well, and I can see why now, because he wasn't here that long. Brother Ben Smith and I were friends. Preacher that followed me in Holden back in 73 said to Brother Ben, he said, trouble with Brother Ray is he's Calvinist, which is not true. And preacher said, Brother Smith said to him, says, he's not a Calvinist, I am. Brother Gray told me that. He loved to tell me that story, and I never heard it from anyone else but Brother Gray. Many of you don't know Brother Leon Gray. He's in heaven. But I can tell you this. He's grandpa to a lot of these preachers around here. The preaching you just heard was from Grandpa Leon Gray. Because Brother Abels was mentored by Brother Gray. And so many of you preachers were mentored by Brother Abels. Brother Merrick was also mentored by Brother Gray. And when I hear these young men preach, I hear Brother Gray. He was a great pastor, a great preacher. He had a special ministry ministering to young preachers. And I want to tell you, I know I'm an old preacher now. I started out at 15 as a kid, and I was 21 when I started pastoring back in October of 1956. And that's before many of you were even thought about. I know that. I'm just so thankful, though, to still be able to preach the word. Amen. And after I get through, I hope you believe I still can. I have cataracts on both eyes, and one of my right eye is getting pretty bad. So if you see me straining, and if I miss a word now and then, you'll understand it's because it's so hard for me to read. And the particular distance from my eyes to the pulpit, it's made it rather difficult. Maybe some of you all have trifocals, and that may be what I need. I don't know. But I do know I need that surgery, and the ophthalmologist keeps putting me off. Young preachers, we old guys are going to die and go to heaven. And you sure are needed. And I hope that you'll hold the ropes. I hope that you'll be willing to keep on keeping on. This church has had four pastors. I did not know the first pastor very well, but that certainly was a good testimony that we just heard about him, wasn't it? 48 precious people saved and holding the line, not letting this thing be a community church. Oh. I'm a Baptist, not ashamed of it.
Amen.
Brother Smith was a hard-working pastor, and if you sat under him, you know he was a good preacher and a hard-working pastor. I asked him one time, I said, "Brother Smith, why is it you knock so many doors when you being a Calvinist?" He says, "Guaranteed results." He's the only one I ever heard say that, but I appreciate that fact. I have fought that battle, by the way, nearly all my ministry, because I have a brother-in-law who pastors Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri, and I love my sister, I love my brother-in-law. They think I'm a heathen. I don't think much of their religion either. I do think they're saved, and I do think they love the Lord, but I sure think they've swallowed the wrong doctrine there. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of remove not the ancient landmarks. Now, there's several references, and I want to read all of them to you. The first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14. If it is your custom to stand here to the reading of the Word, I have several scriptures for you. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." The next reference is in chapter 27, Deuteronomy 27, verse 17. "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen." Amen. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28 is one of my favorites. Somehow or another I didn't get to Proverbs there. Let's see here if I can get back to Proverbs 22. There we go. 22:28. "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." I like that one. That's just about my favorite one. But then just a few verses later in 23:10, it reads, "Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless." Now, let me just address a few words to you, and then we'll give you one more verse and I'll let you sit down. You all know that Israel inherited a land that they didn't work for, but they did have to fight for it. And then when they got their territory, and the Word of God tells you from the north to the south, from Dan to Beersheba, and from the east to the west, what that territory was. Well, then they started giving landmarks to put those people in specific places. I would have liked to have fit in a dear man who lost his vineyard because the wicked old king wanted to take his inheritance, but I didn't put it in this sermon. I just prepared another sermon. But my friends, wicked people do remove landmarks. Now, right now I'm talking about two kinds of landmarks. Number one, they do remove landmarks. If you own a piece of property somewhere, somebody put a marker on the corners of your property, and that's important to you because it makes good neighbors. I remember when we bought the property, it cost $1, and I got to pay for it there in Holden. I remember soon after that, it was an L-shaped piece of property, and the little neighbor lady cut a tree down, and her daughter, who had given us that property, said, "You know why she cut that tree down, don't you?" And that was my first time to experience removing landmarks. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I know why she did it. She wanted to kind of cloud the issue of where our landmark is." Well, my friends, the other landmark is the landmark that the Lord has set. And He has set many wonderful landmarks. Preacher before me, he mentioned a dozen of them, didn't he? And he did a good job. All right, the next scripture I want to give you is Job chapter 24, verse 2. Job 24, verse 2. "Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof." And the interesting thing about that verse is it addresses itself to more than just the land. You see, the Lord wants you to have a piece of ground. And he wants you to live happily on that piece of ground. And he does not want you to encroach on your neighbors, nor does he want your neighbors to encroach on you. We're supposed to love our neighbors, and our neighbors are supposed to love each other. This is talking about boundaries, not only physical boundaries, but spiritual boundaries. And that's what we preachers talk about, our spiritual boundaries. Lord, I pray that thou would bless this message in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to give you several examples of how the devil and his crowd try to remove the ancient landmarks. And then I want to touch upon some of the wonderful landmarks of our faith. And I especially want to address myself to you young preacher boys. Your pastor has stood solid as a rock. Brother Abel's before him there and here and now there in Springfield is standing solid as a rock. There are other good men that you know who are standing for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I want to start right back there, a place that the pastor before me mentioned, and that's the garden. Let me tell you, there's a couple of landmarks that were removed in the Garden of Eden. One of them, you know, we have the thou shalt's and thou shalt not. And the Lord told Adam and Eve clearly what they could do and what they couldn't do. My wife's wonderful verse, and I love it too, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, help me out here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, it hadn't been written yet, but certainly Eve knew that. And she knew she was disobeying the Lord. We've all been kind to her and said she was deceived, but she still disobeyed the Lord. Then she gave to her husband, and he also disobeyed the Lord. He didn't trust in the Lord with all his heart, and he broke the ancient landmark, thou shalt not. And I understand all of us have been guilty of breaking the thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. I'm going to touch upon several ancient landmarks. And then just outside of the garden, two brothers, Cain and Abel. And Cain thought he knew more than the Lord. And so the first thing that he did, he tried to deny the precious blood. My friends, Hebrews tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the modernist says, certainly I don't believe in that old-fashioned doctrine of blood atonement, and I don't know of any intelligent preacher who does. Well, I guess we're a bunch of ignoramuses, but I do believe in the blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. And Cain brought that beautiful offering to the Lord, and the Lord would not receive it. And even after he brought it, he said, if you do well, sin lieth at the door. And that's a wonderful example of scriptural truth, because what he meant was the sin substitute was there. All he had to do was get it and sacrifice it and come the faith way, the blood way. And Cain wouldn't do it. And then you know the rest of what he did. He got angry and killed his brother and said, I don't know where my brother is. And he then broke the ancient, thou shalt not kill. And the devil has been selling the big lie from day one, and he's still selling it, and people are buying it, and they are paying no attention to the ancient landmarks. I just want to talk about some of those this morning. I think, to me, the classic example of complete ignoring the Lord is found in the book of Judges and the 17th chapter. Judges, the 17th chapter. I call this chapter Micah's homemade religion. I've been down that road too, my friends. What? You mean you want Baptist baptism? When I was a young preacher, an older preacher over in the Kansas City area called me, and it was one of these, "All this can be yours, son." And I knew that he did not practice Baptist baptism exclusively. And so I asked him about it. If he was going to make me his heir apparent, I wanted to know about baptism. And he said, "Well," he said, "you know, we just treat it like this. It's a ceremony, and if somebody's saved and they've been immersed, we just say that's baptism and just come on." I've seen a lot of that in my ministry, and I never was comfortable with it. I don't believe that's scriptural, folks. I think that's one of the ancient landmarks that we ought to be willing to stand for. And then what about this business of closed communion? I think that's an ancient landmark that is very evident. You know what it all rises and falls on, folks? And I'm talking to folks that do. It rises and falls on what you believe and what you know about what a New Testament church is. If we believe that when somebody gets saved, they're in this church, then I suppose that kind of baptism, that kind of communion would be all right. And boy, that's what most people believe too, by the way. But on the other hand, if the Lord's going to build His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, there are certainly some requirements that are required. And it's got to be a church if the Lord says it's a church. It's got a candlestick. All right, I'm getting a little farther away from what I want to say. Judges chapter 17. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it." Thou shalt not steal. There's one of the ancient landmarks. He took it. And his mother said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my son." And my friends, that was not true. He was not blessed. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee." Now, she dedicated that money for the purpose of making him false gods. "Yet he restored the money unto her, his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave it to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods," plural. And my friends, the word of God is clear. There's only one God. Amen. "And made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And of course you know that that's the key verse to the whole book of Judges. And what a bunch of disgusting people you see in the book of Judges. "And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who also was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place." In other words, he was just a nameless wanderer looking for a job. "And he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, 'Whence comest thou?' And he said unto him, 'I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place.' And Micah said unto him, 'Dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel and thy victuals.' So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons." Isn't this all comfortable? I tell you, it's just so comfortable. Except it's a bunch of heathenism. "And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah," and I hurry to get to this verse, "'Now I know, or now know I, that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest.'" And you say, and I say, what a mess that was. Well, it reads like the year 2008. You read on the next chapter or two, and you'll find out that the Danites came and stole that man's religion. Took the young man from Bethlehem, Judah, took the false idols, and took the whole thing, And Micah went out there and he said, "What are you doing? What are you doing stealing my gods? Taking away my priest?" I want you all to know something. You can't steal my God.
Amen.
But I'll gladly share him with you because he's plenty big enough for all of us. Can't steal him. Where thieves break through and steal, and where moth and rust doth corrupt. In Revelation, you will read about the 12 tribes of Israel. It's a perplexing thing, pastors, but I think the Danites did themselves in back here in the book of Judges. I really think they did. They became a nation of heathens, worshiping false gods. And I don't find the Danites in the book of Revelation. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about this good church, Calvary Baptist Church. I had the privilege of pastoring Brother and Mrs. Krantz Bond and their son Ellis. They were wonderful people. They came to us on a New Year's Eve. And if you remember them, you know what a blessing, what dear people they were. And when I pastored in Riverside, California, we weren't very far from March Air Force Base. And I've had the privilege of pastoring several wonderful sergeants that were in the Air Force. And I have to tell you, now, don't tell my Marine and my Army people back home because I love them too, but the Air Force is my favorite branch of the military. Brother Don Spangler was my youth director and assistant associate there in Riverside. And I've lost track of him, but I'd certainly like to know where he is. He's got to be retired by now. We ordained him, and he started a church in Naples, Italy, out of our church there in California. Brother Don and his wife Judy were wonderful people to work with. After Brother Don left to go to Italy, then we got Brother Tony Orm. And Brother Tony Orm was also a sergeant in the Air Force. And it's just been my privilege down through the years to minister to some wonderful people. This church is a very special church. I think you all know that. It's a special church because of its connection to military. It's a special church because it also embraces those of us who are lay folks and civilians. And God has blessed you in a wonderful way. You have had some good pastors. You've had some excellent pastors. I know Brother Abels is hurting today two ways. Number one, he's got a very sore knee, I'm told. And pray for him about that. And then he really loves you folks and wanted to be here. Marilyn is his secretary on Wednesdays. And he said, "And I already had my message." When I used to come here occasionally to preach when he was pastor, y'all were hard to preach to because you were so used to hearing the very best. And then here came in that guy from Holden. And I know he'd have loved to have been here. I watched as he made the move from here to Springfield. He didn't want to do it, you know. The Lord made him, and he said, "Yes, sir," because he's a good servant of the Lord. But he made some good plans, and you were blessed by those good plans. Amen. Brother Merrick has been a wonderful pastor of this church. Pray that the Lord will leave him here the rest of his life. And he'll just be... That's a knowledgeable statement, by the way. And he has enhanced the ministry of Brother Abels. Brother Abels enhanced the ministry of Brother Smith. Brother Smith enhanced the ministry of that church. But think of this church. Think about it, folks. 40 years for pastors. That's really wonderful. And it would be fine with me if when I get to heaven and 40 years from now I hear, "Brother Merrick finally came home to be with the Lord and he'd been pastor of Calvary Baptist Church all that time." It isn't only wonderful pastors that this church has had. This church has had some wonderful lay people. And it has some wonderful lay people. And I commend you, Pastor, for having such good people, taught people, knowledgeable people, people who know the Word of God. Now, I have to disagree with one thing the preacher said before me. When I first met Brother Sam, he said, "Hello, brother." Sounded just like he came from Tennessee to me. Because he learned his English from Brother Abel's. Hello, brother. Congratulations on your new baby that's coming. Praise the Lord. The 2 years that I was not pastoring, Brother Abel's sent out letters and I was able to go around the country and preach. And I really did enjoy that. I've always been a homebound preacher right where the church where I pastored. And I preached from southern Arkansas to northern Indiana. And one of the things that I got to do one day was preach for Brother Joe Choka over in Perry County Baptist Church. And Brother Pittman's grandmother had passed away. Brother Choka couldn't be there. He had to be in Germany, I believe it was. And I had the privilege, being a visiting preacher, I had the privilege of getting that close to the Pittman family and being able to preach the memorial service for that dear grandmother who's in heaven now. I met Brother Pittman's dad and mother and lots of his loved ones. And I'm so thankful that he's here under the ministry and tutoring of Brother Merrick. And I just thank the Lord for the privilege I've had to know some good churches. And I want you to know this. There is no better church anywhere than Calvary Baptist Church of Knob Noster. But rather than getting all swelled up, just say, Lord, use us for the service. All right, let me get back to the message. I want to say this. Keep on keeping on. Brother Merrick asked me to bring a message, if the Lord would so lead, about an anniversary. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about your past, which I have. Now I want to say to you, keep on keeping on. Let me give you a couple of scriptures that I find a lot of lay folks just simply don't believe. And it bothers me because they don't, because it refers to we preachers. It's in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. See if you don't think these are a pair of ancient landmarks that the Lord has given us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 reads, Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And so what I'm asking you is to do exactly what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says. And then it's such an easy thing to remember. Verse 17 reads the same way. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I'm well aware of the fact that I'm not the only preacher that ever pastored Brother Cranston and Bond. But I'm also well aware of the fact that one day I'm going to stand before the great judge. And he's going to say, now, Pastor, give a report of Krantz and Ann Bond. Verse 17 says it well. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I have pastored a lot of dear people. Every age group, from little three-year-olds, you know, babies, to the oldest of grandparents. One of the things that just amazes me is how many dear people that I've been able to pastor that weren't even from the 20th century. I mean, these folks were born in the 19th century. And what a joy it was for me to pastor and preach to people who obviously knew more than I do because they were of their years. But they were wonderful people to pastor. And then, of course, pastored lots of 20th century people. And now we're in the 21st century. Oh, New Testament church, follow your pastor. He's not the boss. He's not the dictator. He's God's servant. He's sent here to serve the Lord first, and he's sent here to serve and minister to you. Keep that old ancient landmark. Now let me conclude by just giving you this. Let me talk about these landmarks that we saved people have. First of all, there is the upward landmark. The Word of God makes it clear. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Somebody can say, well, Brother Ray, that's Old Testament. It's also New Testament. That's right. And it came from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. We're to love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul. That's the upward landmark we're to keep. And then there's the outward landmark. I couldn't say it better than the Lord Jesus did in John chapter 4. verses 34 and 35. This is the outward landmark. He said, and I quote, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Everywhere you go, north, south, east, west, even here in central Missouri, there are precious people who need to be saved. When I was over there in Perry County, I saw precious people who need to be saved. When I was down with the precious preacher down in Dexter, Missouri, down the Boot Hill, I saw precious people, north, south, east, and west, that need to be saved. By the way, Brother Carr, before we went to Australia, Marilyn and I went down and met your folks. And we also went and met Sheila's folks. And then from there, a few weeks later, we went to Australia. And I'm here to tell you that the place that I went down there in the Boot Hill reminded me of a moonscape. Lovely people, but it's flat as a pancake in Missouri. And I'm a hill boy down from the Ozarks. And I so much enjoyed visiting. And Brother Carr, when I saw Brother Bruce and I told him I'd been to see your parents, he said, "Did they let you in?" And it wasn't really too easy. First met his dad, and he said, "Well, let me go see my wife." And they let us in. So we visited a little while with them. Everywhere you go, dear ones, there are precious souls that need to be saved. There in southwest Australia, where Bruce and Sheila and their children are serving the Lord, wherever it is that people are able to go, and it's not easy anymore, pray that the Lord will open the way for those who have surrendered to be missionaries to get into the field. Every day I pray for the Shropes, and it's going to take the hand of God to get them into Western Australia. I suspect you all minister to them and support them. Pray that the Lord will open the door. I remember when Brother Meredith first talked about going into Australia, they told him it was not doable. It just couldn't be done. But my friends, we have an outward responsibility. Then we have an inward responsibility in our churches. There are two kinds of people that will come to Calvary Baptist Church. There will be saved people, and I know that you'll receive them with open arms and love them and minister to them. I don't want you to compromise. Your pastor doesn't want you to compromise, but you do need to love them, and you need to do everything you can to get them into the church to do that which is right. And then there are people that come here into our churches who are lost. And the Bible says that the Lord said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and his will ye will do." And it's not easy to minister to them. But that's why we're still on earth and not in heaven. There aren't any lost people up there, just children of God. Some wonderful ministries have gone out of this church. Literally thousands of Christians have gone out of this work. You're doing a great job, church. You've had good pastors. You have a wonderful pastor now. You have an upward responsibility. It's one of the ancient landmarks. You have an outward responsibility. And you have an inward responsibility. And I would close by this. There's an old landmark called Mount Calvary. And that's where every sinner gets saved, isn't it? Let's stand for that old landmark of Mount Calvary. Father, bless the preaching of your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Appreciate so much the way the Lord's used Brother Ray to have an impact on our church here. The Teeters also sat under Brother Ray for a time and are here now with us. And so praise the Lord. For them, yeah, amen. Yeah, Brother Teeter came over to preach over there and is here. And so praise the Lord for that. Lord, it's been certainly a blessing to have them with us here also.